Welcome to Three in the Pod.
Hey!
And also in the studio, we got Kenny.
What up?
He's on my left, and immediately behind me, of course, we've got Jive sitting at the controls.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right. It's been 2 weeks since you've heard from us, because we had many, many interesting scouting missions to peruse. I heard there was an outdoor hockey tournament going on in the Mayan Riviera, so I went down to scout that out. Turns out that was blatantly false. It was a comedy festival, but it was a blast.
So how was Toronto?
No, not Toronto. Not
India?
Toronto. Well, close enough. That's closer. Anyway, I know you cats made sure to run and check out a band of some note that we all love.
That would be the Boys in Clutch.
Yes.
They kicked some major behind, as one would expect. They rocked this earth.
Yeah, the rock and roll outlaws doing exactly what they normally do.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So we got two weeks of games to cover, so maybe we should ought to kick right at it.
Yeah,
right,
we should. Screw this banter. Let's just fire it right off. Aaron, cut to you right away for the breakdown of the Wild Week. 2 weeks, whatever.
So last two Wednesdays ago.
Two Wednesdays ago,
after our show, the Wild played the Sharks in San Jose. They lost 4-2, but bigger news is they lost Danny Heatley in the last scrum of the game. First, he took a chop from Vlasic, Mr. Pickles, and then there was this little shoving match when he fell, apparently dislocated his shoulder, had to have shoulder surgery, and he is done for the year. Question is he done as a Wild player?
Quite possibly. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Wild to buy out contract and
Under the new CBA, they do have one amnesty buyout or two amnesty buyouts. He could be traded, and someone else could use him as an amnesty buyout. You know, and
does he have a no trade clause?
No, I don't think so. I think he would have had to waive it to come here.
Yeah, the other thing there, he's also got. If he heals up in time for next year, he does still have 1 year on the contract, correct?
Yes. But he's also getting 7.5, and we know the Wild are going to be tight in cap space.
And not many people are going to want to drop that kind of change on a player on the decline.
True, but you're going to have also teams that need to meet cap floor.
Yeah.
And he can fill up a lot of room real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a name, so he might be able to, you know.
And he is very good at what he does.
He is. He's not a two-way guy, and that's a detriment to his style. So.
Yep. All right, the following night on Thursday the 4th of April, the Wild were playing the Kings, and I believe I had that predicted that they were going to lose that one, and the Kings were going to have a little bit of payback for how we treated Quick like a sieve the previous matchup with them.
That sounds about right. I'm pretty sure I agreed with you on that.
It was Pominville's first game in a Wild sweater, and Backstrom got pulled after 3 minutes because he let two goals in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was two goals on four shots.
Yeah, regardless, it was still it wasn't good. 3 minutes and 7 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't
something
good.
Something like that. Yeah, bad.
So Kemper got a little bit of a nod. I want to say that's the only time he was between the pipes while we were on our little hiatus, as
right.
it were.
Yeah. And he actually did pretty well. He only gave up a goal in all that other time.
In
57 minutes.
Yeah, that's reasonable, especially for someone coming in kind of cold.
Well, especially someone playing against L.A. Kings. I mean, yeah, they're not the Kings of last year, but they're still a really good team.
Yeah.
They had their issues at the beginning of the season for being a championship team. But
right.
They still have a lot of firepower. They do have a really great netminder. So.
Oh, no doubt. And and that was actually the thing with the Sharks game is Pominville didn't make it there in time,
but
it was
right.
Was there in order to make it for the Kings game, and
which you know I was a little I not surprised but a little disappointed on how sloppy some of those lines looked.
Yeah, they weren't sharp. You could tell that they just
our best looking line was the fourth line.
Well, and
yeah,
did
really.
They really have time to figure out which line they wanted Pominville added on and how to benefit all four lines the best? I don't think they have that settled down yet, even.
Well, I think the original thought was putting him with Koivu and Parisi and having an all-star top line, basically a current and two former captains leading the team.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, like we had seen, Coyle is actually fits very well with that top line, and Pominville, You know, yeah, he's coming into a new system. He's coming in with new guys mid-season round. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean, even though he's a great player, that he's going to just gel right away.
Right, and there is a thought that, you know, we got Pominville again for next year. Thought is maybe next year it'll be Koivu and Koivu, Parisi, and Pominville on the top with Coyle, Granlund, and Zucker on the second
that
line.
That would be an insane second line, like basically guys in their second season.
But they're all like top talent. You
well,
know?
Coyle's been playing top line.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he might be back to it now.
And
but
I think you know, on a team, say, like Edmonton, you know, Granlund, Coyle, Zucker, they'd probably be top line on.
Oh, absolutely.
Possibly the top line on those teams, too.
It wouldn't be the first time that Edmonton would put a rookie
right
all-star top line. I mean, look at Nugent Hopkins.
No doubt. And, sorry. So, the couple days afterwards, Russo had a, Mike Russo from the Star Tribune, he had a online chat. And in it, he dropped a couple big pieces of news. First off, being that the it looks like it's going to happen, that the Wild are going to move the Houston Arrows to Des Moines.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
And with that, I mean, the big reason is they don't own the building that they're in Houston, and the landlord, which I believe owns the Rockets, basically wants to put concerts in there that will actually make money. Even though I think the Arrows actually draw pretty well for the AHL.
I think the Arrows do have a fairly well built fan base,
but
down in Texas for sure.
But yeah, but I mean, I think they're averaging like over like 13 grand a game.
Yeah, wow.
So a lot of people actually.
That's better than New Jersey was doing most of last season.
Well, you figure Houston is the fourth largest metro area in the U.S.
All right,
point. Yeah,
you know, you would hope they'd be able to attract that. But the thing is that they're paying up the nose for rent, even if they take a attendance hit going to Des Moines. They'll probably
save so much on rent.
You know, honestly, I don't know if they would take an attendance hit going to Des Moines because it's so close to the Minnesota border.
Yeah,
I think
of the road trips. I was already thinking about it, just going, sweet, I can actually go check them out instead of seeing them waiting for the one game they play at the X.
The one problem, though, about being in Des Moines is that two AHL teams have already failed in Des Moines.
Oh.
Were they affiliates of a Minnesota team, though?
This is true. They weren't.
You know, I mean, if you're an affiliate of, say, like, you know, a team from Vancouver, who's going to be driving from Vancouver to go to Des Moines, Iowa, or New York?
You would think if there's any team that can survive, it'd be either like a Blackhawks team affiliate or a Wild team affiliate.
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, both.
Or possibly St. Louis, too.
Yeah, any of the border states has a chance, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
And then the other giant nugget that he dropped, and this has been speculation for a while, was that the Wild are actually going to switch up their road jerseys, their road whites.
Yay.
Finally.
That would be all the old regiment completely out of the sweaters.
Yep. It's going to be, rumor has it, it's going to be similar to our home alternate greens right now. It's actually going to be really close to the home white jerseys for the Arrows, which
awesome.
Is that
I like it.
Scripty kind of jersey.
The collegiate style.
Yeah,
the collegiate script style.
Yeah.
Yeah, the collegiate script and just possibly maybe a small version of the logo on the shoulder, if I remember seeing
it
correctly.
You know, I'm all for it. I would like to see the greens, our current alternates, go to our home.
I like the red sweater.
Make the red an alternate. I mean, they usually play them pretty much even. So it'd basically be naming at that point.
Put,
you know,
put the red back to the alternate like it was. Yes, they changed up the piping a little bit on it.
Right.
Make the greens, our current greens, back to our home.
We would have the best home jersey, the best alternate jersey, and possibly the best road jerseys.
Absolutely. All right. So with that, the day after Russo had his deal, another Gopher got signed. This time, Eric Halla got the Wild finally signed them to in entry level, I believe.
Yeah, and
huzzah! Anybody else celebrating on that one?
Oh yeah,
I thought it was pretty surprising actually because
I thought they were going to let him finish off his college career after not signing him before the trade deadline.
Well, it probably was his choice the whole time, but the thing is I think he makes four out of the top five scores that now have now left the Gophers from the season.
Yeah, what's that going to do to their team next year? I mean, you know what? This is not the first time this has happened to the Gophers, and they've always managed to survive.
And the prevailing thought is that their incoming freshman class is going to be pretty solid.
It always has been.
You know, remarkably solid, though. I mean, more so than even normal. So the hopes are is that the guys have been around that are sticking around will be able to provide more minutes and provide quality minutes, and the upcoming kids will actually be able to fill in right away.
Well,
so
I mean,
I guess we'll see.
You know, Don Lucia has a good program going with the U of M right now with the Gophers, and they've got a great scouting staff. And, yeah, they'll survive. They always do. Now, the only thing is do we really need another Finn on the Wild in the Wild organization? I mean, what the hell? Are we just going to turn
in? We always need more Finns.
Are we just going to turn into the Finnish elite? Like, just change our name? Go with blue and gold colors? Blue and yellow?
So that was earlier in the day. Later in the day, the Wild played the Blue Jackets in Columbus. They win 3-0. It was actually the Wild's first time facing Gaverick this season, as he was traded to the Blue Jackets just a few days before. It was a pretty easy win for the Wild. Pominville gets his first goal with his family in attendance, and the Wild just get a win, which is nice to see considering how much they've been struggling without Cullen in the lineup.
Yeah, especially after a couple of losses, a few losses. I want to say it was four in a row, five in a row.
Yeah, it was a couple. You had obviously the Kings and the Sharks.
Yeah, which we have right in front of us. Beyond that, they were hitting a little bit of a rough patch, and very nice to see Pominville getting in there and finally tagging a goal in the Wild sweater.
So with that,
then we move on to the ninth. We had the Wild playing the Blackhawks on Tuesday the 9th. I actually was, at the time this game was going on, I was watching on a laptop at an open air bar, but unfortunately, we couldn't get that game, so I had to satisfy myself with the Habs versus the Caps, hoping to see a score update, which I finally did. And it was the Wild did lose 1-0. The only goal was a bad pass by Stoner that was easily picked off by Hossa.
It was an ugly pass. And,
it was.
If you're going to make a bad pass, do not make it to Hossa.
No.
Because that pretty much, especially coming out of the defenseman, that pretty much leaves Hossa wide open, one-on-one with the goalie. And that's not the situation you
Stoner
want.
Stoner actually is, he's had a couple good games recently, but he had a stretch there where he just looked terrible. I mean, Yo didn't give up on him, but he looked bad.
I think just about everybody else did.
Well, he looked worse, so.
I don't know. We had a slow news day on the 10th. Coming up on the 11th, the Wild end up recalling Zucker back into the lineup. So, glad to see him back up. I do like him. I think he's a great player. He's got good talent. Still young, but
I like all the rotation of players we have that come up from the AHL, from the Arrows. I think it's a good mix, and it gives them, and since we do rotate it a bit, it does give them all a little bit of a chance to go, okay, here's my shot. Let me make sure I can prove I can gel here.
Right.
Well, and it's a good way to do it, too. I mean, you get the kids down there that can actually get some quality ice time and then come up and play some pro-level time, go back down, keep up their ice time so they're not getting just stagnant up here. They play, maybe 8 minutes a game or something like that. Down there, they're at least playing 15, 16.
Right. So. And he fills the spot of Heatley, who was obviously put on long-term.
So.
And so with that, Zucker's back, and he gets his first game with the Blues, and the Wild lose yet again. This time it's a home loss, 2-0. Third time the Wild have been shut out in four games. And the other game was a win, which was also a shutout going the other way. Suter left the game in the second. He played in the next game, but it was unclear initially if he'd be healthy enough. Apparently he got banged up. It sounded like a lower body injury. He's back already, but that was a little frightening there for a while. You know, thinking of the possibility of not having Suter for an extended period of time is
not the guy you want out.
No. And then also injured was Zenon Konopka. He's been wearing a walking boot. Thought as he's been playing with a broken leg or broken foot for a while now.
Oh, jeez.
And being the tough guy he is,
he just made it happen.
Yeah, but now he's out, and they've been cycling guys in through that fourth line.
I can totally see, I can totally picture Kanaka sitting at home with his leg up on his ottoman with his rabbit sitting in his lap watching TV.
I'm just going, I should be out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was
petting the fur off the rabbit.
it was another embarrassing loss for the Wild. They've just been dominated by the Blues this season, and I fear a potential playoff situation where the Wild face the Blues.
Well, you know, next year we got Blues and Chicago both in our division.
Oh, it's gonna be fun.
So
it's gonna be interesting to see all the rivalries then. But on the 13th, we had the Blue Jackets again, and we lost 3-2 in the shootout.
At least we got a point out of this one instead of getting shut out.
Right. But and
Coyle had a really nice hit on Anisimov 17 seconds into the game. Now, personally, to me it looked like it was shoulder to shoulder, and then as the momentum carried him through, his shoulder ended up bumping Anisimov's head a little bit.
I mean, it didn't look like Coyle was making an illegal hit. It looked like there's an unfortunate hit where Anisimov was, you know, stretching for a puck low, and Coyle tried to go down. You could see
Coyle's a big guy.
He hit the shoulder.
Yeah.
There was definite shoulder-to-shoulder contact.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate. Luckily, Coyle didn't get any, didn't even have a disciplinary hearing. They figured he missed out on a whole game.
And that also happened entirely due to, that was only exacerbated by the fight he got into immediately afterwards.
His first in the NHL, yeah.
And he did a good job of it.
I don't know if I'd say he won.
He held his own.
If it's not a draw, he'd have maybe a slight win. He definitely didn't lose.
He definitely put, I can't think of the player's name, but put that other player he was fighting onto the ice.
Yes.
Like, the last hit put him onto the ice.
Yeah.
The guy that was in the Blue Jacket sweater.
Yeah, I can't.
That one guy.
Yeah, whichever one came to the defense of Anisimov.
He wore that one number. I don't remember what it was, though. But, that game was all Vrotsky. Totally shut down the Wild.
Basically, this game would have been probably 7-2 had anyone but
Bobrovsky
been in the net.
Use your big boy word.
Right on cue. Thanks, Jeff. Anyways. So, after that game,
Dubinsky was the fighter in the
right.
fight.
Thank you. Monday, the only real news is that first news should be I finally got back into the country and cleared customs fine.
Really? That anal? Never mind.
I had plenty of baggies of baby powder. I mean, kidding.
So, 15th comes around a couple of days ago. Wild at Flames, Monday night, I believe.
Yep.
Wild win 4-3, but man, that was sloppy 4-3 win.
It looked dominating.
Dominating, but the end was definitely very
last
sloppy.
Half of the third period was just it was not good.
Yeah,
I remember reading online that I think it was Russo that said that the Wild were trying to sit their top line guys, their top line
give
defense,
them some rest,
give them some rest, especially Suter, who we already know is kind of banged up,
right?
And because of that, you know, they were kind of stretching thin their defensive core, and that was the reasoning that.
Well, we do got possible playoff pitchers coming up.
We do, yeah. And so
I mean, why let those guys get banged up any more than they need to right
now?
Yeah,
I mean, it makes sense. It's an unfortunate because as a fan, we sit here and we can't see them close out a game that they're obviously dominating
right.
in. You want to see them to go a full 60 and just shut kind of teams out.
It's like a team that has clinched in NFL where, like, the last 2 weeks, it's like you don't know if you should bet on the team or not because who are they going to be playing?
Problem is the Wild haven't clinched anything yet.
No, they haven't, but they're resting guys like they have.
Right.
Almost a foregone conclusion at this point. They haven't hit the magic number, but
they're getting
odds
close.
Are well in their favor.
You know, with the Calgary game though, we got the return of Matt Collin.
Yeah. Someone might maybe say, I mean, I don't think he had any goals in that game, but he, you know, I think his presence on the ice is makes such an impact.
Yeah,
He did get an assist. Actually, on Pomerville's second goal that game.
That's right. Yep. So, I mean, but he's just a force, and just having him around there just makes, and he's a fast skater too. He's a fast guy, and that puts a lot of the defenders on their heels. So,
all right.
And then next game, right after that game, actually, the Wild send Mikael Granlund down to Houston, and then during the morning skate, Mike Rupp re-injures himself.
He ruptured himself.
He ruptured himself. Maybe ruptured a tendon or something. I don't know. His lower body, I think, is what I read. And so Granlund is then recalled the same day, emergency recall, back to the Wild. And
his frequent flyer miles have been building up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, he's doing a good job with that. And also that same day, a little bit later, Joshua Harding, actually went down to Houston to make sure to get some game time experience before stepping back onto the bench for the Wild. He could be back with the Wild before the end of the season, before end of the regular season, that should be noted.
So, also that day, some Winter Classic news was released.
Yeah.
Big day for news, apparently, yesterday. Who would have known? The NHL is now talking about possibly doing 5 or 6 outdoor games.
Yep, there will still only be one Winter Classic, but...
And the Heritage Classic.
And the Heritage Classic.
I understand those two, but aren't you kind of dumbing down the idea of an outdoor game when you start letting
devaluing it is really what you're doing.
You know, they want it for ratings and whatnot and sellouts. How are you going to get ratings when you... Why don't you just play your entire season outdoors and do, like, 2 indoor games a year?
Right. It's a cash cow, and they're going to milk it, and they're... Personally, I think they're going to kill it by having.
They're going to kill it by having too many, and they should add one at a time if they are going to add it. I would like to see more outdoor games. Don't get me wrong,
right?
But they should add them one at a time and make sure that they take off,
rather than just oversaturating. Going, oh
yeah,
there's something special about waking up hungover on New Year's Day, and it's like
did
another
I get
holiday.
Up in time? Did I miss any of it?
Yeah,
okay,
did I miss any of it? Getting up and going out, it doesn't matter what teams are playing, but just watching an outdoor hockey game. I mean,
and I think they're talking about having possibly 2 games in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, you know what? They haven't even. How come Minnesota does not have a game?
Yankee Stadium?
One is supposed to be Yankee Stadium.
That's something that they've been looking at. For
Islanders
a long time.
Versus Rangers or something like that.
You know, I was looking at Kevin Allen's from USA Today. He wrote a big article on it this morning, actually. Updated at 7:04 today. But he's like, yeah, the Minnesota Wild can't believe they haven't been awarded an outdoor game. The Washington Capitals believe they were promised one. Colorado Avalanche want one, as so do St. Louis Blues, Columbus Blue Jackets, Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs, and every other NHL team. But, come on, don't you think we should get some of these northern teams in here that can have it, rather than giving Pittsburgh what? They've done 2? So far?
Very much agreed. And my biggest worry, of course, is that they're trying to push, like, all of us love the spectacle.
I mean,
ultimately, that's what it is. We love the spectacle of it. We love, and part of it's the novelty. I don't want to see them get blinders on and think that the outdoor game is the thing, the new hip thing, like expanding into the South, and then all of a sudden cause it to kill the outdoor games.
Batman's running the league. You know he's going to drive us in the ground and kill it.
So does this make sense because I was playing outdoor hockey as a kid before the NHL did it?
I mean, maybe, yeah, exactly. And maybe do it as a surprise thing. Like all of a sudden, one night, all the tickets get upgraded for the Bruins versus the Habs, and they get moved over to the football field. And you find out day of that you're actually going to an outdoor game when you thought it was going to be an indoor game. So you grab different clothes and you go, this was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, but they're gonna mess it up. I mean, because
they will.
The smart thing would be, yeah, just add a game and see how it goes.
Yeah, and have it be one of the Wednesday rivalries like NBC Sports is showing it. And just, okay, this is the NBC Sports sponsored Wednesday rivalry outdoor game.
But even adding one game, it does lower the value, the cachet of that big Winter Classic game.
And I still think it would be nice to do it as a surprise. Like, people buy the tickets thinking they're going to be at the arena, and then they find out they're going over to the football field.
I don't see that happening. But I like your reasoning.
That won't happen, but I think that would be the coolest way to go about it.
Pretty cool.
That would be And it would have to be one of the rivalry games, and all of a sudden, oh, wait, it was just announced this morning. Sweet!
But it would have to be somewhere like Philadelphia, where like the football stadium is right next door to the hockey arena.
It wouldn't have to be. It wouldn't necessarily have to be next door.
Just you get to the arena and all you see is like just party buses lined up and down the street. Like, all right, boys and girls, hop into the bus,
or at least announced that week. You know, announced on Monday so that nobody's confused about it.
The logistics of actually hiding them, creating an outdoor ice arena, though.
In the age of Twitter, that ain't happening.
No.
Yeah, true. True.
Good reasoning, but logistically, it's going to be a nightmare.
So then, at for the end of yesterday's news, the Wild win again, two in a row now, beating the Oilers 5-3.
Battle of Alberta.
Another game where they led by a huge margin in the third. They had at one point a 5-1 lead. Then gave up two easy goals.
Brodziak with a pair.
Brodziak had a pair. Granlund gets his first goal since opening night, which is pretty impressive.
Well, he's spent a lot of time up in the press box, though.
There was also a goal by Parisi, unassisted. He basically had his own assist. He basically passed it through the crease, went around the net, and then tipped it in on the other side.
Oh, that was a beautiful goal.
Yes.
Amazing. That guy just never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Aaron.
So, with that win last night, there's this great website. It's called sportsclubstats.com, and they break out the playoff odds for each team. With the win for the Wild last night, that puts them, statistically speaking, at a 97.6 chance of making the playoffs. And the reasoning is actually pretty solid. Right now they're in sixth place. Or they're seventh. I guess it varies depending on the day or where the points land. They lead in points, but they've got an extra game played over St. Louis. So that's where that shakes out the way it does. But if you look at who's below them that is also in the playoff race that's actually out, so 9 and 10 and 11. You basically have Dallas, Columbus, and Phoenix, right?
Basically. Edmonton's still right on the cusp, but you know what? It's probably not going to happen.
Basically, if any of the teams above them win a game for the rest of the season, they're out. So they really don't have much of a chance at all. They're less than
0.2%. It's less negative 0.2%.
That was the change. They're under 0.1% chance.
Yeah.
So their odds are basically that's not going to happen. Now when they have to hop over, three other teams. So basically you have Dallas, Columbus, Phoenix. Phoenix has got a 2.6% chance. They're out of eighth place. They're, 4 points out with five games left. And they got to hop over two other teams. They're basically out. That leaves Dallas and Columbus. Dallas, all of their remaining games, I believe, are on the road. They're all against winning teams.
All right.
And I believe Columbus plays a lion's share against road teams. And they also play only one team that's got a losing record.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, Columbus made a lot of moves to actually strengthen themselves.
Sure.
So they actually have a shot of jumping ahead of Detroit here. But Detroit is so vetted and so veteran.
But that's the thing, though, is Dallas and Columbus both are playing very tough teams to end the season out. The Wild have got five games left now, two against winning teams, three against losing teams.
Dallas's last five games, they're playing against Vancouver, then they're at St. Louis, at LA Kings, at San Jose Sharks, and then rounding it out with a home game against Columbus. So it could come down to that last home game with those two battling it out.
I really see Dallas dropping like a brick over that road run they're about to do.
Oh, I think Dallas is screwed. Yeah. Columbus might make a chance, give a chance.
Oh, Columbus isn't much better though.
No, it isn't.
At Anaheim, at LA, at San Jose, at Dallas, and then Nashville for their last game.
Yeah, Nashville's the only losing team that they face in that stretch.
The rest are all on the road. Well, Dallas could be on the cusp either way, but yeah, I mean both of those teams have a tough next five games
right.
are tough.
And you look at the Wild's last string of games, and it's a cakewalk. I mean,
we'll look at a few of them here coming up, but right. Yeah.
So it's a good chance, I think, for the Wild. They have to lose. Even if they win like two games the rest of the way, that still puts a ton of pressure because they also own tiebreakers against Dallas and Columbus.
Right, and I think they need to guarantee a spot. I think they need 6 more points, so yeah. 3 wins.
3
and
wins.
They're at least guaranteed to make playoffs.
Right.
Well, and let's talk about it then on what we got coming up for the last 5 games.
Predictions.
Well, I wasn't even going to go into predictions yet, but I was just going to do the quick schedule and then predictions, yes.
How about the last week's picks?
Although I like that creepy voice. Real quick, just on the schedule for the last 5 games of the season. We got the Sorry, let's go into it. Last week's pick. Sorry. I can't find the tab now.
So anyways.
last week's picks. I'm sorry.
Aaron came out the big wiener. With a 5-3 record. Jive came out the big loser. Aww. With a 2-6. Went 50-50 with 4-4, and Josh had a losing record of 3-5. Overall, it still puts Aaron at number 1, me at number 2, Jive at number 3, and Josh is rounding out the bottom.
Yeah, I'm at the bottom, but it should be noted that I did miss a week. That I want to say was three games by
you still
the count.
Have the, you still have the lowest winning percentage, though.
Yes,
3 games, and you're still only 2 wins behind Jive.
Yep. All right, so yeah, I'm definitely falling at the back there on that. Should we just trade then on that?
Yeah,
since
go
I
ahead,
could not
Josh.
Find the right tab on my computer.
What do we got coming up, Josh?
Coming up, we got Wild at the Sharks for our next game, and that's tomorrow night. Then on Sunday, we're playing the Flames, and then we are playing the Kings on Tuesday. Both the Flames and the Kings are at home. Should we bother mentioning the last 2 games, even if we don't predict them right now? Because there will only be 2 more games in the regular season.
Since we
mentioned the easy schedule.
Right.
And that portion does not sound too easy outside of, say, Calgary.
We'll vote on them next week, but we can mention them.
For our last 2 games, we got back-to-back a home game against Edmonton on Friday, the 26th, and on the 27th, we're at the Avalanche.
Avalanche are last in the NHL.
And that is how we end our season. So, yeah, we should be doing all right here, but let's look at our actual predictions now that I finally got enough tabs closed to get to them. Aaron, what do you think?
Okay, so first game we'll go over, we have Wild at Sharks. I'm going to go, as much as it pains me and I want them to win, I think the Wild are going to lose that game in San Jose.
All right, personally, I think they're going to take that one. I think that the Sharks have gotten quite lucky on that. And we owe them some payback. And I think the boys are tasting it and ready for it. Kenny?
You know, I'm going to agree with Aaron. In fact, actually looking at this, I think I'm going to agree with Aaron with all of these picks. But I'm going to go with a loss. That last game, yes, we ended up losing a couple of guys and had to have some guys fly in because of the trade deadline stuff. But yeah, I don't think they're gonna be able to beat San Jose on the road, not this late in the game.
All right, and Jive, what are you thinking about San Jose?
Man, I gotta follow that Nostradamus guy, Aaron. I mean, just look at his record, man. It speaks volumes. But no, they're gonna be traveling out there, and I don't know. Right now, they're kind of at a rough spot, I think, in juggling the lines around and dealing with some injuries and stuff like that. So. I think they might have a tough time handling the Sharks at their own place. So,
all right. Now versus the Flames. Kenny, let's have you give your breakdown on that first.
You know, I'm going to go with the W against the Flames. We've had their number. This is the first time that I can remember that we've actually had Calgary's number for the entire season.
Yeah.
They're looking good against the Flames, minus that last little flub the last game. But I'm going with the W.
And Aaron, what are you thinking on that?
Well, I as well am going with the Wild winning on that game. A little tidbit: the Wild, as we've all noticed, the Wild have kind of struggled against winning teams this year, pretty significantly. You know, you look at, look at the teams that we've struggled with this year. It's been Anaheim, St. Louis, L.A. We've kind of done all right against Vancouver, I guess.
Chicago.
Chicago.
You know, I think we've held our own against Chicago, though. We gave them their first loss.
True.
Yeah, we didn't really struggle with them outside of one game.
You know, we lost the last game. We lost 1-0 from a bad pass to Hossa.
Right.
Stoner to Hossa for the goal.
But check this, though. The Wild against...
Did they give Stoner an assist on that?
The Wild against sub-500 teams this season, they're 9-2-1. The Flames are sub-500. I don't know how you could not pick them beating the Flames.
Jav, your thoughts on that then?
I'm going to have to go with them, pulling off the win. They have definitely had Calgary's number this year, and with it being at home, they've done very well at home. Needless to say, who they've been playing. I mean, their record's pretty darn good. So.
Well, then we have a consensus, because I also think they're going to just take the Flames out, especially they've lost their main firepower in trades, and I just don't see them even possibly taking that game. Now, looking at next Tuesday, the Wild are playing the Kings at home. Jive, kick us off on that. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking that this is another home game for the Wild, so it'll probably be a close one. But it's been tough for the Wild against the Kings this year, and I'm going to have to go with them losing it in the end. Might come down to a shootout or something, but I think in the end the Wild won't get the 2 points.
All right, Aaron.
Yeah, and this is one I was definitely on the fence with. I could see it going either way, unfortunately. But I think the Wild will pull out the win. I'm hoping they pull out the win. But I can understand someone picking them for losing because they have been tough to beat this year.
Yeah, Kenny?
You know, I'm going with the win. Last time, granted, it was quick in net when they played here, but they definitely did a number on the Kings. I think they can take care of them at home. It's on the road that I'm a little worried about, but they are here, so I'm going to go with the win.
It looks like they've been going every other game with the Kings this year, and so I'm going to argue the win as well since we lost last time. And yes, since we are on home ice and we do owe them just a little swat on the bottom, as it were, for the last beating they gave us, I think we should end that out that way. And then we'll get to the last two games of the season next week when we come back for it.
So, gentlemen, we did have some college hockey news.
Oh, yes.
Talk about.
On to college hockey.
College hockey.
And there was one Minnesota team in the Frozen Four. That
St. Cloud State.
But they got knocked out by Quinnipiac.
Yep. Sitting there, I'm trying to remember what the score was on that.
Well, it doesn't really matter because then Quinnipiac lost to Yale. The Yale being the
4-1 was the Quinnipiac score.
Yale being the Cinderella team that beat both the Gophers number 2 and Quinnipiac number 1
and North Dakota
in their run.
Yeah.
So Minnesota gets a moral victory for losing to the eventual champion. Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and St. Cloud State.
Because that looks good mounted on a wall.
Playing against the second place team. Mass Lowell is who Yale played in their semifinal right before moving on to the championship game.
Who would have thought Yale?
Oh,
anybody?
God.
Anybody? Has anybody, Josh, the brackets that happened at that one place that you work at?
I was on vacation.
Oh, I
suppose. I couldn't even tell you.
Have you talked to that one guy who did those brackets?
I've talked to him. I mean, he's my roommate, but I did not get a chance to talk to him about that.
Not trying to mention any specifics.
Farthest thing from my head. But, yeah, Yale beating Quinnipiac 4-0 in the final game.
I got to imagine that a lot of people's brackets were screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, horribly, horribly. I mean, when you're talking about first, second, and third place teams all getting wiped out early.
I mean, about the only teams that I could foresee
by the same team that took the championship.
Yeah. Well, you know, my two top picks got knocked out first round, BC and the Gophers.
Yeah.
St. Cloud State, I think I could see going there. I did not have them going there. I thought Notre Dame was going to beat them, but that didn't happen. But other than that, I mean, Quinnipiac. Who the hell is Quinnipiac? Obviously, you know. We had to look this up and discuss this, but yeah. I mean, I would have never thought that team and Yale.
No, not never.
Exactly. How many people actually watched that game?
How many kids are in Quinnipiac?
And Yale's pretty.
They probably don't watch TV though. So
no, they were studying.
All right, so somebody already started augmenting.
We shouldn't bash on them too bad. They might be a sponsor.
That's right. No. So we should probably move over to our Minnesota Player of the Week, though. And our weekly poll that we put up every week for Minnesota's Player of the Week. This week it was, we'll be putting one up for a 2-week period, but last week we had Koivu, Cullen, Parisi, and Suter all on the block to be voted Player of the Week. Cullen ended up winning that, and thank you all for voting very much, because it proves some of you are actually looking at our Facebook page, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So, thanks. Congrats, Josh.
All right, yeah, and that was my pick for the week, and I think I picked later last week, earlier. So,
well, yeah, and now you get to pick last this time.
Exactly. So I'll wait and try and figure out who I'm going to pick this week.
Oh, we've all got our votes, and so we'll just go straight down. I'm going with Pominville, the new guy on the block. He's got 7 games now with the Wild. He's got 8 points, 4 goals, 4 assists. Even though he hasn't been able to contribute to wins a whole lot, he has been putting points on the board. So he hasn't been the reason the Wild have been losing.
No, definitely not. All right, and I'm going to go with Granlund. Getting his frequent flyer miles, coming back after getting sent down to Houston to get called back up, getting a goal, first one since the first game of the season. I'm hoping the kid actually finally has his stuff together, and obviously with some injured players, he'll probably start to see some more ice time.
Plus, he has been getting assists, too, so yeah. It's not like he hasn't been scoring at all.
Exactly.
So, Jive.
I'm going to have to go with Parise. Hey, he's got to be in our list every week, you know, at least. God damn it, that guy is worth it. I mean, if anybody ever deserved a paycheck, it's him. So, I mean, pretty much every night he comes to play, and he's always a contributor to the team.
You know, I got to say, with bringing that up with the paycheck that he gets, him and Suter both, I think, are earning their keep.
Yeah.
A lot of people had argued that they got paid way too much, but I think they're both well worth it.
Oh, no doubt.
I think they've been producing more than, say, Heatley. That's proven in the stats.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're getting paid the same. Yeah. So I totally agree with that. But I'm going to pick Coyle.
Oh, that's a great pick.
Nice.
If for nothing else, outside of assists, goals, things of that nature, that hit and that fight and just stepping up and ringing the bells when he's not really the or answering the bell's call when he's not really one of the fighters on the team.
Plus, I don't know that we talked about it during the show. I think we may have touched on it in the pregame, but he took a stick to the face 2 nights ago.
Yeah, and has stitches in his tongue, if I remember correctly.
Yep, and yeah. 2 chipped teeth.
Yeah. And
Speaking with a lisp
and taking it like a champ and still out there playing. Or is he out for a little bit?
No, he played last night.
Yep, lovely. Took a high stick, drew, and finally one of the ones that gets called.
Yeah.
One of the times.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
And it finally gets called. Lovely. Takes it like a champ, gets right back out there after getting the stitches, and gets back on the ice the next night. And he'll be back in that lineup just kicking some more ass this next week. So let's see. Anything else anybody wants to bring up here? Or anybody wants to know what where they can find you if you want to let them know, Aaron?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter. My handle is @AaronGNP, where I tweet about music and hockey and about annoying rats in Kia commercials. Then you can also check my band website. It's pinrot.com. We're also on Facebook. Check us out.
Kenny, give all the ladies your digits.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a RottenK999 on Twitter. Check me out there. Retweet some music stuff and some hockey stuff and some random pictures and burning stuff. And, yeah.
And remember, ladies, he is single. Jive.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Jive Midnight. And, yeah, you might hear some of this.
And of course, I'm the Meat Beast. You can find me on the Clubhouse Show on Cynet Radio. I also DJ Tuesday nights on that station. And then you can find me here as well. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully we'll have you back next week for 3 in the Box, last of regulation season.
Holla.
Holla?
Holla? You gotta holla now.